This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Spring
Talking Wrestling
in Surprise. Yes, in the break, we definitely talked wrestling.
Raw is war.
Also want to shout out ASCO Equipment, your heavy equipment partner since 1960, and the on-time experts, air conditioning and plumbing. Remember, same-day service guaranteed. Now the man who always delivers it to you at 1 p.m. It's the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Appreciate that, Kevin. Mike, I will see the last 3 minutes of the C-Block if you want to talk about wrestling. I will see that for you.
Okay.
So everybody prepare.
Yes, because I want to be involved in that conversation too.
That being said, we are also starting the C-Block with wrestling, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, let's do it.
This is the greatest day of my life.
I know somebody out there is like, what? Don't worry.
I dare you to yeet and throw something out the window.
No, I'm not going to do
so
that right now.
The
beginning of this will involve AEW and the Outrunners. Kevin, do you know who the Outrunners are?
I do.
All right. So evidently, the Omaha Mavericks. I'm going to have to lower this just a little bit.
Because we're less than an hour away from Rangers Royals here, and PA man's making his money.
The Omaha Mavericks head coach has started a tradition, which you can see in Letterkenny, and I think frequently in Shorzy as well, where if they get a win, he completely destroys a trash can
in the locker room. I have absolutely seen that.
And he just goes, like, Mike, you see this there? He's kicking one. Yeah. He's got it above his head. He's throwing it down. And the Omaha Mavericks know if we win tonight, coach is going ham on a trash can right now. But what he did was he decided, you know what? I'm bringing in Turbo Floyd and Truth Magnum.
Yes.
And they're going to give a pregame speech.
Those are the Outrunners.
They're going to give a pregame speech to my Omaha men's basketball team. Let's hear it right here.
Omaha Mavericks. If you're anything like me, and I know I am.
Ooh, nice.
You woke up this morning for one reason and one reason only.
What is it? Give it to him.
I'm going to tell him. You woke up to get the dub and to beat up some trash cans tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
Who the hell are we playing tonight?
South Dakota.
And I'm looking at a bunch of guys from Omaha that I really enjoy.
So tonight, I won't rest until we beat the H-E double hell out of a few trash cans. What do you say?
Yeah!
What do you say?
And that is...
The last part confused me just a little bit.
H-E double hell?
Yeah.
What I also loved was the one, I don't know which one it is. He's the one with, he's got the skinny tank top on, Kevin. So,
okay.
He hops in, he goes, who the hell are we playing tonight?
South Dakota.
And I just love that they brought him in on that afterwards.
What conference is this?
exactly. I don't know who we're playing, but we're going to beat up some trash cans. And then after the game, they won, and the guy came back in there and they beat up the trash can in front of them, and I'm not joking about this. team building is important when you're talking about putting the roster together. But once you have the roster together, how do you keep the guys together? I'm dead serious. I think this is an important thing. And stuff like this might seem cheesy and corny or whatever, but a lot of the guys on the team are into it. Just like I said with Sirianni, he might seem cheesy and corny to everybody else out there, but all the dudes in that locker room are like, I don't care, I'm buying in on it.
That matters.
And so what he's done here is created a little thing that, the guys can rally around. And now they said, screw it, we're bringing in some AEW guys to be part of it too. A, nice publicity for AEW. True. And by the way, they did Turbo, Magnum, and Truth Floyd. They went after that trash can. They double teamed it and did the little handshake thing and then elbow dropped it and whatnot. It was pretty amazing. No, there was no Eiffel involved. But that was a definite like interest. Again, you gotta if you're gonna just smash some watermelons, Mike, or whatever it is, you gotta do something to get the guys together.
I hear you. I like it. And now we're gonna talk about Thunder Rosa and how she got showed up by those two women.
No.
Actually, I got about 8 more minutes before we get to that, Mike. So, okay.
I'll tell you what, Hixie made a pretty solid sandwich.
Dude,
there.
That sandwich is a good looking sandwich.
You can see it's lettuce, then cheese, then ham.
Yeah, there's ham. And it looks like the bread isn't just some random, like, Mrs. Baird's. This is a quality bread that he's using. Is it a potato bread, it looks like, maybe?
He said Applebee's.
Potato bread, huh?
Yeah. I like potato bread.
Potato bread is fantastic. No, he made
a fine
sandwich.
Made out of potatoes, mostly.
And then Jared doesn't have anything to eat over there. You know, maybe some frozen grapes.
But he is talking.
Yeah. To who? You know, who's he talking to over there?
That guy, if he ain't working, I don't know what he's doing.
11-year-old R-Change Rayleigh Lemovo stands a whopping 6'5". Have you seen this guy?
Yeah.
Have you talked about him already?
No. I had to click on it and I was like, what?
According to the CDC, the average 11-year-old boy in the United States is a tad over 4'8", and this kid is 6'5".
Oh my gosh.
And Mike, watch how he dominates
Holy crap.
Every one of these little kids. And I understand they're all shorter than him, but he's physically already built like a shooting guard. At 6'5", and he's not
the new Greg Oden.
Yeah, maybe his body's not going to be able to do it.
What was that movie called with Brad Pitt? Benjamin Button.
Maybe he's going to start. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Maybe he's going to start shrinking.
Yeah, it could happen.
What I did want to ask though regarding this, because again, this like he's wowing people on the court. Because
why is he playing against 11-year-olds?
Exactly. Good question.
He should be playing at least like 14 or something.
Who's the player that in your time you saw that you were like, he doesn't belong on the field with these people? And I'll go back for me. It was B.J. Johnson. Who played for, I think it was Grand Prairie, or South Grand Prairie. He played for them back in when I was in high school. He was a man among boys as a receiver. And I remember watching him, and I was just like, nobody belongs on the same field as this guy right now. It's insane. Then he gets to Texas, and it changed just a little bit. Like, that's whenever you realize, it's different when you go up against him. But we've been able to see, Kevin, over time, Jackson Jeffcoat looked like nobody on the field could stop him.
I'm still amazed he did not have an impactful pro career. There's two people that immediately jump to mind. The first is Julius Randle.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And the next is Marcus Smart. But I'm going to stick with Julius Randle because
size.
I saw him earlier. I saw him as a freshman at Prestonwood just dunking on all these chumps that I'm like, man, I know you made it to the varsity, but like this is a different level of varsity. And he was running the ball up and down the court as the like...
Well, already the new rules were the NBA for Prestonwood.
Yes,
huh?
That's right. That's right. And as a freshman, he was running the point, moving it up and down the court. And I was like, this kid is amazing. And obviously, he's had a heck of a career.
From the 817, Matthew Stafford. They said, and Mike, I still love that story, Mike. If you don't, do you mind sharing that about what your dad said when he first saw Matt Stafford play?
Well, he saw him play baseball.
Yes, that's what I meant.
And he saw, at the same time, he saw Kershaw. He actually told my agent should have taken his advice on this. When he saw him as a freshman, Kershaw, and said, hey, there's a kid that's going to pitch in the major leagues. And I'm telling you, I don't say that about 14 and 15-year-old kids that much, but this kid's going to pitch in the major leagues. And then he saw Stafford play shortstop, and he was like, he could play college shortstop.
Man.
He was like,
hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 3-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I couldn't tell you now, for Matthew Stafford, he wasn't saying a future major leaguer, but he's like, he could tell him playing baseball at shortstop. He is like, no, he can play college baseball.
That's always wild to hear those kind of stories. From the 214, Jackson Jeffcoat went to West. Not top tier football talent there.
Okay.
We watched all of it, dude.
I'm going to stop you right
and
there.
And hold on, from the 817, went to school with Jackson Jeffcoat. He was unbelievable along with Burkhead.
I'm not going to dispute that at times Plano West, especially as of late, has struggled with football. But just remember, they were in the same conference or the same division.
District.
As district. Thank you. I wasn't going to get it, Mike. Thank you. As Allen and like some really huge, huge teams. He played against the best of the best. And him and Jonathan Gray were...
Jonathan Gray was going to be the greatest running back ever.
I thought for sure Jonathan Gray was going to dominate at Texas and be an all-pro in the NFL because I'd never seen anything like him in high school football. He just chomped out every defender that was in front of him. I know he ran into injury problems, but yeah, those two, they were special. I thought they were going to be special at every level.
From the 469, I played football in 7th grade against Jeffcoat. He made me hate playing football.
I could see that. Fun. I think I'm allowed to tell this story now. Enough time has been removed.
Ooh.
So I talked to the Plano West coaches. He would have been their starter. He would have been a starter for them as an 8th grader. Because I remember, and that's how I got on the Jackson Jeffcoat hype
train.
Maybe
they didn't have a lot of talent on that team.
Yeah. Well, that's fair. But like, one of their coaches, he was like, hey, we get this kid in the 8th grade right now. Holy crap, he's so good. And I was like, how good is he? And he goes, he would 100% start for this team right now. And I was like, as an eighth grader? And he goes, oh my God, he's already built like a man. He's going to be unbelievable. And then at one point, he was the number one football recruit in the entire country.
From the 254, RG3, I played against him when he was at Copper's Cove, and he was a freak. He should have been playing college at that level.
Oh, man.
Somebody said Spud Webb. Obviously, that's a completely different opposite direction. Miles Garrett in high school. We saw him in high school.
Yeah.
We were like, what is that? From the 682, they don't have a name, but they said sixth grade peewee football, our nose tackle was a grown-ass man. We had opponents that appealed games on his age, and he once broke a punter's arm because he was a massive beast, and the team walked off the field.
Oh, man.
And that's just like the, again, from the 214, it's a little bit different, but I remember Chris Davis hitting a Oppo home runs at Frisco Stadium thinking he was going to be a Hall of Famer. Chris Davis did have a look. Did he go to Longview High School?
I believe so.
Yeah, East he had Texas. One of those looks about him, too. Earl Campbell, Kerry Wood, Mike Bassett, people talking about Mike
Justin
Bassett.
Justin Blaylock's here. Another really good one.
Oh, really? Yeah, Justin Blaylock was a fantastic player, too.
Okay. From the 214.
Sergio Kendall.
Why am I forgetting Justin Blaylock? Help me out.
He was an offensive tackle for Plano.
For Texas. He had the block that sprung Vince Young for the touchdown. Then he played with the Falcons. Somebody brought this one up. I know we're going back to Plano West. I remember this kid so well. So Jamabo.
Oh, yeah.
He went to, I believe it was UCLA.
Yeah.
He got dinged up a couple of times along the way, but that kid looked like he was built as the prototypical running back. And I know once again, some injuries slowed him down, and I thought that he was awesome. And I remember their football coach at the time, really nice guy. He would always go, oh, you talk about Jamabo? And I was like, is that how you pronounce his last name? I don't think that is factually accurate. But yeah, that's another good one.
From number five.
Ooh, I don't remember what number he did wear.
I've seen Jamabo
number five.
Multiple people said A'shaun Robinson. 6 foot three, 300 pounds as a freshman. Somebody said they watched him run point guard in high school, and they were like, oh my gosh. But I'll also add this. Derek Dockery was one that I saw. He went to Lakeview High School. My friends were over at Lakeview, and I went to go watch them play. Actually, one of my friends was on the drill team there, so I went to go see her do her drill team stuff. And I see Derek Dockery, and I was like, that dude's giant.
Yeah.
Like, he is a giant kid, and he like continued to be huge as he got to Texas.
Corey, did you hear what Mike said?
I try to keep moving because I was giving him 3 minutes here at the end to talk about.
He said,
wrestling.
Did he wear number five because of Jamabo number five? And then Ruben, you don't know that song. Yeah, he just gave him a fist bump. And I was like, there's no way Ruben knows that song. But when somebody looks at you and fist bumps, you're like, yeah. It's like, have you ever seen that Community episode where Chevy Chase goes off about Billy Joel and then he looks at Childish Gambino and he goes, yeah, in your face, Billy Joel. And he's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. It was just like that.
And then lastly,
it's 3 minutes.
Two homeless men ran off with a $523,000 lottery ticket they purchased with stolen credit cards. And the victim's lawyer is offering to drop charges and split the winnings if they turn it in. So he's like,
fascinating.
We want the ticket.
You All right. take that deal if you're the homeless people, right?
Absolutely. You
don't get prosecuted and you get half the money.
There you go. All right, Mike. Wrestling last night while we were trying to eat dinner.
All right, your Raw is War review.
Stop. No. You have to set this up properly, Mike.
Okay.
Yeet! While we're driving to the restaurant, Mike is trying to get the login code to Netflix so when we get to the restaurant, he can watch Raw while... And this is the team dinner. Like, all of us were there, right?
Yeah.
There was all nine of us were out there. And so it was fantastic, but I know Mike, absolutely. Then you talked to your wife to get the code for Netflix so you could watch Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, so I watched a little bit while we were there, but I obviously didn't have the volume on and stuff like that. But I got back to the hotel and I watched most of it. I did fall asleep at one point. But yeah, so you had Logan Paul, man. People really dislike him.
They do.
He does play the kind of, I don't even say bad guy. He just plays the antagonist, I guess, very well.
So what I'm trying to figure out, Mike, is...
And they were in Cincinnati last night.
Does he have the good kind of heat or go away heat. So like,
you know wrestling more than I do.
And I still can't entirely tell because you're a bad guy. You want people to boo you. But you want them to boo you because you're like, God, I want to see that guy get his ass kicked. And I think that's where he is. But there's this thing called go away heat where they're like, no, I'm booing you because I actually think you're terrible as a performer and okay. I'm disinterested. I don't think he's at that point, but I'm not 100%.
And then CM Punk came out and then they had their little thing. And then we got to wrestling and my guy Penta wrestled.
Yeah.
He didn't win, but he didn't lose because it was a three-man wrestling thing.
He lost to Ludwig Kaiser, I believe.
Yeah, but I will say this. That Gunther guy, am I saying, do you say Gunther or Gunther? Because they've said it both ways. Yeah. He is awesome.
He is.
He is really awesome, and that yeeter is going to get destroyed at WrestleMania. But Jey Uso did come out, so everybody could yeet.
Mike.
Do you think he's going to win?
You know he's going to win, right?
Because the crowd loves him so much?
I think probably. I think he has no business winning a world title, but I think that's what's gonna happen.
All right, well, this is the yeet song, and then I fell asleep, but you did tell me that the girls tag team championship changed title, so now you think Bianca Belair is gonna win Saturday in the Elimination Echo Chamber.
My picks in the Elimination Echo Chamber for the chamber matches would be John Cena and Bianca Belair. That would be my guess. But then again, a lot of people are like, I'm not sure what the hell is going to happen with The Rock saying, hey, I want to take your soul, Cody Rhodes. And then also, like, we don't necessarily ever have to wrestle. So I'm not really sure what they're angling at with all of that.
Cody Rhodes was talking. Seth freaking Rollins interrupted him.
But he tried to warn him. Don't sell your soul, because that's what Seth Rollins did, and he said it was a mistake.
And they're all going to get in the Yako.
So that's Raw's War last night on Netflix.
There you go,
ladies and gentlemen. Why'd they take off Raw's War? Why didn't they keep it as War?
I don't think it's been called Raw's War for like 15 years. I don't know.
I'm bringing it back.
And that is the C-Block, ladies and gentlemen.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk.
We're yeeting.
With Rangers.
Kid Cowboy.
Veteran reliever Jesse Chavez.
What?
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Live?
In fact, it already did happen.
Whoa!
Mike. We'll listen to it next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to talk with Jesse Chavez from the Rangers in just a few minutes. But first, you needed to run through some football things. So, per Denver Sports 104.3, Rob Gronkowski wants to return to the NFL. Now, I thought today Travis Kelce would take the day for tight end news as the Chiefs feel confident that he is going to be back. But the report is that Gronk worked with Sean Payton at Fox. He loves Denver. He loves Bo Nix. And because of that, he wants to come back and potentially come back and play with the Denver Broncos. Corey, do you believe that Travis Kelce will be back? And do you believe that now Rob Gronkowski will come back as well?
I'm not 100% believing that Gronk will be there.
Okay.
However, last year, the what looks like to be the starting tight end for the Denver Broncos had 13 catches, 188 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Okay.
And that's not enough for what they want to do offensively. And don't forget, Sean Payton had Jimmy Graham. Yeah. You know, like he had that era of he knows how helpful a very good tight end can be for you. Don't forget, he also was here whenever Jason Witten was around, right? So like that, I believe so. I might be off on my years there, but if he had that relationship, he knows how important a young quarterback and the tight end relationship can be. And if Gronk can still physically do it, he'd be more than happy to have him out there. I don't believe it.
Okay,
I don't think it's going to happen, but it's fun to have the NFL continued to be in the mix in the offseason cycle.
So Jason Peters retiring. Dove Kleiman says that the Rams are comfortable with Jimmy Garoppolo as their starting quarterback. I guess that's actually from Diana Russini, which makes sense because if they are really trying to move away from Matthew Stafford, the last thing you would say is like, well, crap, we ain't got no quarterback. And then, Corey, you're not going to like this one. Per Jeremy Fowler, and I asked you about this morning, the Eagles don't want to see Myles Garrett go to the Commanders, and Fowler thinks that Howie Roseman might just step in and make them an offer they can't refuse to bring Myles Garrett to the Eagles.
Dude, there's part of me that just wishes Roseman was our GM.
Oh, my God, yes.
It, like, you, the line
he understands
that,
dead
the
money.
The line that you just said right there, Kevin, is that he doesn't want him to see him go into another team in the division.
Yes.
Not even that, but another team in the conference that we just had to face in the NFC Championship game. I don't want to see him be there. So I'll step in and make sure it doesn't happen by taking him from them. I wish I had somebody that aggressive. I know that the line that we're using this year, selectively aggressive, is the line that Steven's using right now. But man, this is when you're at this point, this is where you start thinking about little things like that and keeping other teams from getting better by making sure you're the better team.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And earlier today, down in the clubhouse, we got the opportunity to talk with Rangers reliever Jesse Chavez. So take it away, previous us.
How many spring trainings have you been to now?
It's 22nd.
22nd? Mm-hmm. Does it feel like the first one?
Everyone does, yeah. Okay. If you take it the right way, yeah.
All right. Now, we were discussing yesterday the line, I'm just getting my work in. Do you typically hear that from a rookie or like a veteran?
There comes a certain point of your career where you can drop that line, you know?
Is that just all-encompassing? That covers whatever you did that day? You're like, I got my work in.
Yeah. I mean, it eliminates the thinking.
Okay.
You just make it short and sweet and get on to the next one.
Yeah, I think I know the answer to this question, but there's a reason we're asking it. Do you know who Charlie Huff is?
Yeah.
Okay. So we talked with Kamar Rocker yesterday, and we dropped Charlie Huff as an example. Mm-hmm. And he got kind of wide-eyed and sort of looked at us, and then we had to stop the interview and say, do you know who Charlie Huff is? And he goes, I have no clue who that is. And it made me a little sad. Mm-hmm. I don't really have a question. I just wanted to let you know that kind of bummed me out a little bit.
Is that... You're sitting next to him. Do you feel like now I need to usher in some more education? Or
no. If I see something, we can have a conversation about it. I'll talk to him about it. But so I'm an open book. If you got any questions, feel free to come and ask me. But yeah, no, I just try to be as open as I can to them, you know, with the experience that I've accumulated over the years.
Yeah.
When young players are around, are they less likely to be like, hey, and start asking questions, or do you kind of have to open up to them a little?
Early on, I would say they're a little bit shy until they figure out my personality. Then it's game on. But yeah, no, it's once they get to know me and stuff like that, we get our feet wet together, you know, kind of get a couple games in, a couple days of spring in. Then they start opening up a little bit more.
I'm always curious about Mike Maddox and his approach. Now, Bassick works with our show, too, and he's often said, like, there's not a lot of practice and work that can be done in the regular season. You can talk about things, but you can't just go pitch bullpens and do those things because you're in the middle of it. You're in the middle of it all.
Well, yeah, it's not like we can go to a cage
like
hitters can.
Yeah.
You know, we only got a certain amount of bullets. So being able to be... The conversations that you have to have with a guy like Mike, I think, will hit home a little bit more than actually throwing, because it's more intellectual thoughts of pitching.
Yeah, okay. And that's what we've always kind of gathered from him. What is his whole philosophy, if you do have it all?
No, I don't. I just got here, bro.
So I don't know.
I didn't know if y'all crossed paths before. And
just playing again, I mean, him being on the other side and me watching the pitchers and the staffs that he's always had guys that know how to pitch. So just,
that's a good thing.
You know, it's a good thing to have, and been a fan from afar, from the other side, so it's going to be kind of neat to hopefully I get to work with them this year.
Do you still like to go pick people's brains? We talked about how they might come to you for advice and stuff. Do you still like
to learn?
Yeah.
And if you're done learning and you're not asking, it's time to go home, or you're doing yourself a disservice, or you're doing the team.
Yeah.
And that's what, being a good teammate that we have around here. And you got to be able to ask and have those conversations you want to have and the uncomfortable ones you don't want to have. You know, but that's something that's going to have to take place. But I think all around, it doesn't matter if you're the first guy on the roster or the 26th guy. It's got to happen.
When it comes to clubhouse chemistry and, like, putting certain dudes in a clubhouse together, do you believe that's a big deal? Do you believe it grows over time? How does that work in your mind?
Well, it starts with the guidance that you put in place, you know, with the staff. And then it starts with us. You know, how are we going to take it? How are we going to work with the staff? How are they going to mesh with us, especially older guys? How are, you know, are you going to come in and try to be, you know, Johnny Hull coach and try and change everything? Or are you just going to let us be and then have us work together and have those conversations that I just talked about? Whether it's good, the good ones or the uncomfortable ones, you know? So I think it starts with that, and then, you know, the good teammates will come about. And the ones that consistently win year in and year out, I think that that's what, you know, happens. You see them are always playing in October.
Yeah.
You know, some teams are you're different, and then you see them, you know, broken up the next year, which kind of stinks.
Yeah.
You know, been a part of a couple of them. You know, but it's part of the game. You know, that's the business side. It's an evolution, all revolving door all the way around. It doesn't matter where you're at. So seeing that and being in clubhouses like that and clubhouses that mesh together really well, I mean, you saw they turned the page here and ended up winning.
So. You get an option between a waffle cart and an egg cart. Which one do you want?
Egg.
Egg.
They're expensive.
They're high prices right now. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
The bird flu.
You could be, yeah, you'd be rolling around if you got a couple of crates of eggs.
For sure. For yeah. sure. Awesome. Thank you very you much. It. Good, sir.
There you go. Jesse Chavez right here on The Fan. And Mike, I know there seems to be one specific thing that you have picked out.
Who the crap is Johnny Holcoach?
Hey, man, look, he's been around for a while. He knows all the sayings. He knows all the terms.
See, in the moment, I thought he said Johnny Ball Coach.
Yeah, maybe because Johnny Football. Yeah, yeah, that would make sense. Listen,
well, there's a thing called Wally Holstaff where we're using the whole bullpen.
Maybe
but
this
Johnny Holcoach is a new one. That's a whole one. The crap is Johnny Holcoach. I've never heard that one.
Jesse Chavez, like you said, 22nd spring training that he's been in. Somebody just pointed out, they're like, I'm 29. He's been playing in virtually my entire life.
Yes.
And he's one of those guys that we met, Kevin, I believe, like, maybe our first or second time out here.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
He's always kind of – he's an interesting character to have around because he has a unique throwing style. Like, he has a – it's like a three-quarter kind of throwing style. But he's one of those guys that just continually – he winds up on teams in spring training, winds up on somebody's bullpen, and he's just a really thoughtful, introspective guy. I've always appreciated the relationship we've been able to build with him over time.
And somebody asked, how old is Jesse Chavez? He's old. He was drafted in 2002. He's the last player drafted from 2002 still in professional baseball.
Are you serious?
Wow. The last one? He's going to be 42?
41 years old, okay. It says right now. So okay. I don't know when his birthday is. Oh, yeah. August 21st.
So we got a minute. All right. So a couple more notes for you. Tarrant Armstead has dropped his contract down from the $28.6 million he was supposed to make with the Dolphins to the minimum. There is a lot of thought that he is going to retire. The Dolphins have told him that they're planning on moving as if he's not going to be part of the team. But he still has time if he changes his mind. And obviously this financial flexibility will give them more time to kind of, you know, see where everybody is on this.
Kevin, Tim McMahon posted a video 12 minutes ago.
Oh, my God.
Of Derek Lively and Anthony Davis getting shots up after shoot-around, getting their work in after shoot-around. I have no clue what that means. Happening. But Anthony Davis actually looks pretty decent out there, so maybe that's good for him. Didn't they were another week away, right, before he gets looked at again.
So last night, Houston, Texas Tech, they had basketball rematch.
I had that on while – I had Netflix on my phone while that game was on, and – Tech made a valiant comeback and then didn't come back.
It was a fun game. Obviously, Houston is an excellent, excellent team, though Texas Tech is really good, too. Did you see Patrick Mahomes freak out because of the full court putt? So
no.
What I want to know from you guys, what's the game at the game that you're most excited when somebody
wins? The Whataburger
wins?
One when they have the French fries and they're trying to throw it into the French fry
Do you
container?
Get most excited for that last fry?
That last fry. I'm like, that's the golden fry right
the
there.
The red fry.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're throwing golden ones. It's the red one that in the end.
Yes.
See, and this is the part that I didn't totally think was an appropriate prize. So this fan hit a golf shot from the opposite baseline, threw a hole in the board, and won a pair of AirPods Max.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Like, that's a neat thing if you just get it.
Where was this? This was
at Tech.
Okay, well, I understand.
Feels like you should get like $10,000 or a car or something like that.
Why? Or a scholarship, you know?
Maybe should have put him on the basketball team for the first 36 minutes of that game. Tech couldn't score to save their lives. Here's the other thing. Who's the head coach at Houston? Is it still the old Oklahoma coach?
Sampson? That I'm not sure. I'm sorry.
Dude. How does he get those guys to play that intense a defense? Every time I watch Houston, I do not watch college basketball much. But every time I do, he has those guys playing the most aggressive physical defense you can watch in basketball.
Yeah. Look, all right, so for Corey, it's the Whataburger fry. Is there a game? I still get amped up when that kid at the Rangers game runs down to grab the base.
Well, they control the clock. It doesn't even...
What?
Yeah.
What are you saying to me right now? The next thing
you're going to tell me is those kids and their families pay to do that. I can't believe you're saying they don't get paid to do it.
The next thing you're going to tell me is the dot race is rigged.
Yeah. How dare you?
That's already determined.
What? Which seems weird to me.
You're saying they pay the kid?
No. Other way around.
The kid pays to do it?
Or the family. Probably not the kid.
That could be. I don't know that. That could be right, too, but... So when the kid grabs the bag or whatever, they it could be like 10 seconds left. Guess what? That clock's going to take a little bit longer than 10 seconds.
I always like that hustle. And I don't understand why someone can't just freestyle during the dot race. They're like, hey, Green's winning tonight. And then Red's like, the hell he is.
I've always felt like during the dot race, one of them should go in there, reach in there, and grab a bat.
We never got that accomplished.
Slugging. Hey.
We were trying to be the dots.
Mike.
They wouldn't allow it.
You have one mission now in your future.
I'm going to be calling the game.
I understand that. But you have a mission, and that is to get us out down there and be like, those are my guys down there during the broadcast.
You know what they call that? Mission Impossible.
No, it's not.
Yeah, they made a movie about it.
No,
they've made a lot of them.
Yeah,
so it's about the announcer
trying to get his friends to be the dots. And
but don't you think
it.
By the time you're at a Mission Possible 9, you're like, it's pretty possible.
Yeah.
So like this first date, we can't do it, but you did.
That's going to be the new ones. They're going to call them Mission Possible.
Okay. Don't know about the box office appeal there, but we'll see. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Yeah, Sandler's talking over there.
Coming up next, let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.